Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are I Want Your Sex, Unidentified, and Nightborn.
Well, I would like to start off this week by talking about the new movie from Greg Araki, which is called I Want Your Sex. That's the sort of title that Greg Araki really likes. His movies really often deal a lot with sex, and they in fact deal a whole lot with gay sex. He is sort of known as one of the mainstays of what at least used to be called the new queer cinema. It's not so new anymore. I will say right at the outset here that Greg Araki is a filmmaker whose films I generally don't like. I find them to be garish and lurid and kind of trying to push buttons way too hard. He just loves being outrageous and funny and adorable, and I rarely find him funny and adorable, occasionally outrageous. But the point is, I think he tries too hard in all of those areas. And when I say adorable, I don't mean sort of cuddly and lovable. I mean, he just, I think, wants to be seen as a great rebel against the conventional cinema and all of that. And again, I'm just rarely persuaded by his movies. Now, he has a lot of admirers, so okay, I'm sort of going against that grain. But one example of the kind of thing that just rubs me a bit the wrong way about his movies is that one of his most famous kind of groups of work is what is called his Teenage Apocalypse Trilogy. And I mean, right there, you see his attempt to sort of sound outrageous with things. And the first of those three films, they came out all in the 90s, has a title with the famous F word in it so that it can't really be printed. It has asterisks. And again, this is all supposed to be very outrageous. I just don't find it all that interesting. Now, one more thing, and then we'll get to his new movie, I Want Your Sex. Way, way back, a little over 20 years ago, he made a movie called Mysterious Skin, which I think is terrific. And a lot of critics agree with me on that. It's what I call a clear blue sky movie. It's when a filmmaker whose work I generally don't like makes a film out of the clear blue sky that I just think is really, really good. And I will say that. Go back and look at his Mysterious Skin. I think it's quite a remarkable and very, very fine movie. Most of his other stuff, I think, is really skippable. So, all that about Greg Araki and my overall feelings about Greg Araki, to put my cards on the table, to use a cliche. I Want Your Sex is his new movie, and it has a pretty good cast. It has Olivia Wilde in it. She is actually competing with herself this season because she also stars in her movie The Invite, which is her own film that she made, and they're playing more or less simultaneously in multiplexes right now. And it has other people in it. It has Cooper Hoffman. It has Mason Gooding. And I have to say, for me, the best performance, Olivia Wilde gives a snappy and flashy and kind of over-the-top performance. Cooper Hoffman, who plays the main male character, he runs away with the movie, in my opinion. He's really, really fine. And I really had a good time watching him whenever he was on the screen, and he's on the screen a whole lot. So here's what I Want Your Sex is about. Olivia Wilde plays Erica, who runs she's an artist, and she runs a big art operation, a big sort of a gallery, and she has a huge show of her own work coming up. And she needs to hire somebody. And for some reason, it's never quite clear why, there's a whole lot of people who apply for this job. She wants an assistant, but somehow she ends up just for no reason. He's apparently the very last person to be interviewed, and he's not all that sexy a guy or anything like that. His name is Elliot, but Erica hires Elliot as her assistant. He goes to work for her. So immediately, it turns out to be a very strange kind of relationship. She immediately starts really coming on to him really, really strongly. And he points out this is inappropriate. An employer is not supposed to do this with an employee. And this is sexual something or other, harassment or what. Anyway, it goes and goes and goes, and they certainly become lovers. But it's a very, very lopsided relationship they have. Very, very dominated by her. And he is very submissive to her. But he's a nice guy. And I just liked him all the way through the movie. So they have this very strange relationship. And then other characters include other assistants who work for Erica as well. She has nothing like the same sort of relationship with them. And And I have to say, my favorite among them was a guy named Zapp, who is played by Mason Gooding. Also, very, very good acting. The movie is very well acted, actually. Also, by the way, I have to mention, we have Charli XCX, who plays a woman named Minerva, who is Elliot's girlfriend, who never, ever wants to have sex with him. So that's another side of irony in the movie. Davy Diggs is in it as a guy named Victor. So, an interesting cast, a good cast. I didn't think Olivia Wilde was excellent, but she gives a, pretty interesting performance. Cooper Hoffman really, really is good as Elliot Bell. So the movie has a whole lot of outrageous sex in it, a whole lot of kinky sex in it, a whole lot of goofy sex in it. Not all that explicit. There's a bit of full frontal male nudity, which I guess is still a tiny bit shocking, but not a whole lot of that. And overall, I found it, let's say, one of Greg Araki's more tolerable movies. Not nearly as good as his best movie, which again I still think is Mysterious Skin. But he's made a lot of movies which I find very hard to take. And I will say that I Want Your Sex is again one of his more tolerable movies. Now, again, as I said earlier, Greg Araki has an enormous number of big fans out there, and they should not miss this movie. They'll probably love it. It's him in prime form, but it's just, let's say, not for me. Next movie I'd like to turn to is very much an international arrival here on American screens. It's streaming, so you can see it. It's called Unidentified, and it is from Saudi Arabia, and it is directed by Haifa Al-Mansouri. Haifa Al-Mansour is a very interesting figure. She was the only female filmmaker in Saudi Arabia, which I can well imagine. And she has really accomplished some real international acclaim. She's directed a few feature films. She directed a documentary film some years ago. She's made a number of short films. In other words, she's a very active filmmaker, does a lot of work. And she is at least the first female filmmaker in Saudi Arabia, and probably one of the very few to this day. I'm not sure how many there are at this point, but certainly there aren't a whole lot of them. But she is definitely there. And this is very much a movie that centers on a woman, Unidentified. So it's directed by a woman, it has a woman as a central character. And I think a lot of us often think of the caricatured version of the Middle East, where women are not allowed to do much of anything, at least in some countries. I'm sure that's true. True. But in Saudi Arabia, at least Haifa Al-Mansour gets to make movies, and she has now made this feature film, and it's pretty ambitious. I wish I could say it were a better movie, but well, it's an interesting film, and I'm just delighted not only to see it, this movie directed by a woman and starring another woman, but that it's here streaming in America. So we just don't get that many movies anymore from the Middle East. We get some, but we don't get that many. And this is a movie which is, really a lot of good movies come out of the Middle East. I know the Mid East is a very large region, and I'm kind of painting it with one brush here, but a lot of movies get made there in a number of different countries, very much including Iran, which has produced some of the greatest films in the past several decades. And we just don't get enough of them here in the United States. We certainly don't get much in the way of Saudi Arabian movies. So I'm very, very pleased to welcome Unidentified, although, again, I just wish it were a better movie. But here's what it's about. Unidentified centers on a young woman who her name is Nawal, and she works for the police in this area in Saudi Arabia. And her job is a very sort of, not a very high level position. She is in charge of scanning and digitizing documents. A whole lot of documents that are on paper that the police station has, and that's her job. She just runs this machine and she does it. She also, though, loves true crime podcasts. And she especially loves one podcast, which is it's rather amusing. We see and hear excerpts from it over the course of the movie. And it's one of these things where a young woman podcaster, and it's also on video, gives these horrific details of these horrifying crimes, interspersed with makeup tips. So she'll say, and then he threw the head out the window of the car. And I love this new eyeshadow I'm using. Look how it outlines. So anyway, it's very funny. So anyway, Nawal loves this true crime podcast, and apparently she loves true crime generally speaking. She's a fan of that genre, which of course is a very fashionable genre nowadays. So then a crime comes into the police station, and she is asked to give a little bit of help with it. A body is found out in the desert, and it is an unidentified body. Nobody knows who this is. Nobody can figure out who this is. And they can't really give the body a dignified burial until they find out whose body it is. Well, Nawal is very upset by this. The body has got to have a dignified burial, in her opinion. And I think that's a very reasonable opinion to have. But on the other hand, the police say we've got to find out who she is. So that's why the movie is called Unidentified. And Nawal goes to work on this. Now, again, she is not a police officer. She just works digitizing documents in the police station office. So she has to do this sort of on the sly, but she starts poking around, probing around, trying to find out what she can. And little by little, she makes progress along the way. Nawal is well acted, not brilliantly acted, but she's nicely acted by an actress named Bila Alzarani. The rest of the acting is also good. There's a police officer named Ali, played by Aziz Garbawi, who I really thought was good. And there are some other people in the movie that do nice jobs of acting. And I will say that the story has some real twists. Along the way, it takes some real surprising turns, including a huge, enormous twist right at the very, very end. So, if you're enjoying Unidentified when you're watching it, be sure to stay till the end because, as the old cliche has it, things are not always as they seem. Certainly, Nawal is an enterprising young woman. It's wonderful to see her right at the center of this entire movie. It's wonderful to see her go about this work, which she has to do again, sort of on the sly. And it's nice to see her treated with at least some toleration, if not enthusiasm, by her fellow police officers. Well, I shouldn't say fellow police officers because she's not really one. And again, the movie takes a huge surprising twist at the very end, so that part of it is entertaining. So again, I don't think Unidentified is a very good movie, but it is a very welcome arrival by as a rare Saudi Arabian movie directed by a woman, and that it's here in the United States. I'm so glad. I hope we have many, many more visitors of this kind from the Middle East. We need more. And our final movie for today, which is called Nightborne, and it is a horror movie. There always seems to be a horror movie every week. Well, more than one very often. In this case, there definitely is one. And this is a real international production. It comes from Finland and Lithuania and other countries as well. But it is mostly in English, but a bit of the dialogue is actually in Finnish, and it takes place in Finland. And it was directed by Hanna Bergholm. Hanna Bergholm is a Finnish director, and she's done some interesting work in the past. And this is just her latest movie, and it's a real horror movie. So Nightborne, as the title might suggest, is about a baby. It's about a young couple, a Finnish woman and her American husband, who move into an old house where her family used to live, sort of out in the boondocks in Finland. And they start fixing the place up a bit, and then she has their baby. And their baby is very odd right from the beginning. For one thing, when it is born, it is covered with hair. So something strange is going on here. Well, as the movie proceeds, the baby gets weirder and weirder and more possibly dangerous. And it starts to appear that possibly the baby is a troll. This is not a troll in the internet sense. This is the troll in the old folklore sense. And it's a monster. And it appears that that might be what this baby is. Just for one example, it appears, we find out in the movie, that trolls, at least trolls in Finland, cannot stand cold iron. And sure enough, this baby touches a piece of cold iron and its hand is burned. So something weird is going on here. So we have these parents trying to cope with this. The mother, who just is horrified and becomes more and more convinced that her baby is some sort of monster. And then her husband, who really feels, no, this is just you going through some difficult psychological times, and it's our baby, and we have to love our baby, and we have to take care of our baby, we have to raise our baby right. And I'm sure that with a little discipline, I can get our baby on the right track. So there's that conflict going on. Various relatives of both the husband and wife show up at different points during the movie, and they have their own opinions and add their own tensions and so forth and so on. And it's just a pretty tangled situation. And again, it becomes more and more clear that there is something very, very strange about this baby. And even though the husband, his name is John, keeps saying, no, it's our baby, and we just have to love it and raise it right. The wife, the mother, whose name is Saga, keeps saying, no, there is something really, really wrong here. And by the end of the movie, we certainly find out which one of them is correct. Movie reminded me at times of David Lynch's first feature film, the great classic Eraserhead, one of the great movies of the 1970s and a favorite of mine. And it's also about a very strange baby. Nightborne goes in very, very different directions. It's not an avant-garde film the way David Lynch's film was or is. It's just a sort of a straight ahead horror movie, but it's sort of fun to watch. It's not a pretty movie to watch. It's got some pretty ugly stuff in it, and it's got some even echoes of Rosemary's Baby, I think, in it here and there, even though it's very different. So again, it's a horror movie that's sort of fun to watch, sort of ugly to watch, sort of has its charm, sort of has its repellence. And I found it not, let's say, a bad horror movie, but certainly not a great one. So that is my somewhat horrific and very international story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films I Want Your Sex, Unidentified, and Nightborn.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.